Rangers Rambles.
Alrighty. Welcome back to the next episode of the Raiders Rambles, and we are now on the air. I am Jolt, chief host of the show, and what joining me once again and always is none other than my co-host, Avira.
This is your co-pilot speaking. I'd like to inform you we're about to experience some bonkers turbulence, so buckle up.
Damn right. And now, this time, I'd like to say you're looking good as ever, my dude. Oh, but you're still bad.
Orange Doggo always bad.
So, next up joining on the show is Crest Heart.
Hello, it's nice to be back.
Indeed. Well, you've made quite a decent first showing, so once again, you know, always good to have you again.
Indeed.
And joining us for the first time ever, at the behest of his plus one Crest Heart, is Ravetail.
Hello!
Well, since you're here for the first time ever, why not kind of like give everyone a bit of a proper introduction? Tell us a little bit of who you are, how long you've been in the, you know, in the community, and a little bit of a fun fact.
Oh, God. Okay. So, I'm Rave, Schultz, for Ravetail, obviously. I've been in the fandom for about, I don't know. I think when I was about 13 or 14. And I'm a photographer, let's say.
Oh, that's awesome. Wonderful. I mean, you'd be right at home in the con scene and so forth.
Well, I suppose, but I haven't done like proper furry photography, to be honest. It's more of a hobby of mine, which I do on the side of uni.
Ooh, like Storm Chaser, hmm? Right. So, just before we do begin, there's some crazily funny live comments too, because everybody seems to be obsessed with the candy corn.
Oh God, what? There's live comments already?
Yeah, in the waiting room just before we started.
So oh goodness. Again,
Blueport says, so when are we removing the candy corn?
Remove me from what? Okay.
From the shelves.
Technically, it's already November, so I should be out of stores by now.
Exactly.
I don't want to go stale and, you know, poison people. So, all right. I guess November 1st is when you should remove me from stores. How about that?
No, we got to get rid of some people have to get rid of all the orange in the White House first.
Oh, no.
Anyway, next thing. Since we got staples, never! Candy Corn and Purple Squirrel are staples of this show, and I love these guys. Oh, thank you.
All right, cool.
And of course, from that segues into Candy Corn Stapler.
Coming
to a store near you for only $19.99.
Well, like I said, it is November, so if you'd like to get some candy corn on clearance, you can just go to your local store and go buy some of that.
No, but you have to basically spread the candy corn. Only one kind of candy corn there.
Everyone must eat my competition.
Ooh. Ah, well. I think we'll be fine. So, let's begin the show, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's start by taking everything off, all of it, to save my environment. Because there has been an opinionated piece that says, oh, geez. It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? Okay, opinion. Wear clothes, then you're part of the problem.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I'm pretty sure God had an opinion about this before Adam and Eve, you know, ate from the tree of knowledge.
Yeah.
That is true. Like, you know, anarcho-primitivist society when? Not that I advocated for it, but...
All right, so what are they talking about here?
Okay, so basically, making, washing, and tossing apparel has a big environmental cost. And, as of course, a lot of it is basically to do with all this climate protesting stuff. Which, look, dare I say it, I'm not a big fan of because of how relentlessly in-your-face it's become over the past, however many months.
So, climate protesters, are they worried about the types of clothing people are wearing or the fact that they're actually washing their old clothes and reusing them? What's the whole point of this here?
Nothing. It's an opinion piece.
Ah.
And you know what? And that's all they say is, there's a sense of momentum to solve our planetary crisis, and yet a leading cause of climate change remains persistently overlooked or trivialized. Clothing.
What?
And,
Oh, wait. So the clothing and footwear industry is responsible for 8% of global greenhouse gas emissions, nearly the same as the entire European Union. You see, that's the problem right there. They think that the entire European Union is responsible for 8% of, climate gases or whatever. And that's the equivalent of what, the clothing industry? Okay.
Hello. How do you combat priorities? One more thing. Look who showed up late.
Felix, hi.
Oh, hello, Felix. Yes, welcome. Welcome here. We're just talking about the indiscrepancy, climate change, bullsensical nonsense.
Yeah.
So caring about clothes is often considered frivolous.
Indeed, caring about clothing is often considered frivolous.
Hey
and
guys, I'm
concerned
here
about the fate of the planet.
Yeah, these climate change activists, or I guess you could say alarmists, what exactly is their end goal? Like, do they not want us to be productive in society? Because, by the way,
since
most
that stuff, look, there's some
polyester, which is made of like fossil fuels.
Yeah. Well, speaking of stuff like this, there's a couple of live comments regarding that one point too. What if we all get naked? Blueport says, "Okay, let's get naked. Done." Wait, it's winter. I need my warmth.
Yep. Well, yeah. If you're wearing anything that's synthetic, I mean, you're obviously supporting the big oil companies, and shame on you with your carbon footprint.
You're all a part of the problem. We've gone again.
Oh, fearful Felix. Nah, look at it. Felix will fix itself up.
Indeed.
But then again, you know what? Making clothes is so bad because, this store goes on to say clothes are easy to ignore because they are made far away and have throughout history been made by enslaved, underpaid, and low-paid laborers. Get that out of here.
Well, I mean, this argument isn't necessarily incorrect in that a lot of low-paid factory workers in China make clothes for lower, wages. But at the same time, humans need to wear clothes. So, what exactly are they arguing here?
That is just your opinion. Of course, we might not have to wear clothes according to this.
No, but we do though. Like we really do. So, is their argument? That's what I'm trying to get at. Are they saying
because all
this
stuff,
thing?
The excess amount of water they need to make clothes and all that somehow harms the planet? Oh, come on.
It somehow harms the planet. Oh my god. Wow, okay.
Everything harms the planet in some way. Nothing's perfect.
Literally breathing CO2, harms the planet, alright? Like, humans need to wear clothes. What the hell are they trying to say? Okay, so is the argument that they have to shut down, slave camps in China for this? Or probably not, right?
Nah. Come on, you know the climate change guys. They wouldn't protest in China to make a point. They would. Even though they're literally one of the biggest polluters, aside from,
Well, to speak from like a devil's argument type of thing, the whole capitalist idea of brand names when it comes to clothing, it's kind of arbitrary. Like, I used to work in retail, and, you know, we had, like, Dana Buchman and Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony and all these crazy, like, brands of clothes and stuff, and they were very expensive. So I get where they're sort of almost trying to maybe come from, but at the same time, humans still need to wear clothes. So I used to just, like, shop in the clearance aisle. But, like, it seems like they're against, big companies making clothes for people, and maybe they're trying to make some kind of an argument against like slave labor, I would assume.
It would make sense.
Hang on. Here's a funny contradictory statement, too. They said, like, look. Their point was like, if clothing is harmful for the environment, and then goes on to say, this is the best green text moment. We also need activists, journalists, scientists, investors, and academics who focus on sustainability to include clothing in their work.
What?
Huh? Oh, I think I understand what they mean. Like, they need to, like, work on improving clothing so it's less harmful to the environment.
Yeah, but what does that mean? This is basically big brain stuff. First, advocate for no clothing, then include that. What does that mean? Do they want them to work naked and then, you know, make better clothes while doing it naked?
Yeah, I guess so.
What if it floats their boats, apparently?
I just can't believe this is actually a thing that the mainstream media is actually focusing on. This is like
1,000 IQ right there. 1,000 IQ.
Wow.
Just, no.
Look. Yeah, the rest of this stuff is just basically nothing but boilerplate. Yeah, they're right. Like, EAC Phoenix is absolutely right on this spot. I feel like they're doing this for clicks and giggles.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, this is the New York Times, and they unironically believe this stuff.
Oh, and look what this writer said. They said, we need government action and innovative policy that accounts for global impact of the stuff we buy. So this person is advocating for the government to impact our decisions on what we buy or not buy.
That's terrible.
Yeah, they want to regulate capitalism. Shocker. Yeah. Holy bonkers. We need activists to do this. What?
How do they even know?
Like, basically protest the stuff, make better clothes while wearing clothes, the very same clothes that they advocate against.
This is just silly.
It's true. You know,
speaking of that stuff, on another little tangent, what if we have absolutely, had to do any of this stuff, or like, if they said, like, wearing clothes is bad and they decide to come after the furries, what's going to happen?
Well, no more fursuits.
Yeah.
Which is never going to happen, so.
Yeah, true.
And not to mention, too, as well, like, who are they going to bring it to enforce this stuff? PETA?
Oh, no.
Here we go again.
Oh, no. Let's not go down that dark rabbit hole.
Let's avoid that rabbit hole.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, but they gotta somehow, bring in some sort of, enforcement. Come on.
But this is like a weird type of way to argue this, because even if they wanted to argue for, let's not have real fur, from actual animals that were hunted. Okay, sure, let's not do that. But then they have, fake fur.
Faux
fur. Clothing made from polyester, which is derived from fossil fuels, i.e. oil. So do they not want that either?
They probably don't want either.
They probably don't. And then what's our next option?
Nothing, apparently.
Nothing. Nothing.
We're all going to freeze to death.
Yeah. That doesn't sound very fun.
Yeah. And then, you know what? And then all that, like, what about we basically try some innovative solutions? EAC Phoenix suggesting paper clothes.
Okay, no. Maybe like hemp.
No.
It would be an option, maybe.
But if it rains, oof.
Ugh.
That would be horrible.
You got a point right there. Like, yeah, no, I mean, the whole plastic straws into paper, which then reminds me.
Jeez, plastic straw.
That old chestnut literally, you know, caused a stir.
Didn't McDonald's make a statement about how they're not able to recycle the paper straws properly, but they can do it with plastic straws?
I actually think I've heard of that. I can't even remember.
Yeah. McDonald's is like, yeah, well, all of our paper straws, you know, like, we can't actually recycle these. They're just going to go in the garbage. So what was even the point?
Yes. But it's the same as one of our cafes, which me and Cresta actually go to as well. So when we have like a milkshake or whatever, they do paper straws. And it's obviously it's to help the environment out. And it's just, you can't throw away, you can't recycle these straws. It's just, then what's the point?
It's very counterintuitive.
Right. And, you know, recycling is all well and good and stuff, as long as it's, like, feasible and actually possible to do. That would be nice.
It would have actually been better to keep the plastic straws.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But, look, I guess the same kind of thing all happens, too. With no, look, to get back on the whole furry thing, what's going to happen to us if there's no fursuits anymore just for the sake of the environment?
We'll just have to wear our human suits out.
Or we could, like, culturally appropriate the Native Americans and use skins as our fursuits. I mean, who the hell knows?
You know, that same thing comment too. Would they, AC Phoenix again?
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And would they win up the furries?
That's exactly what I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
But totally not scripted.
Nope.
No, but like, that's really the other only option. Like, there's no other way to do it.
Mm.
Or you could just, you know, consider the fact that polyester is a very cheap and very easily viable way to make cheap fur and stuff, and we could just continue on doing that.
Yeah.
Or, the best ending solution, basically stick a finger up against all these climate activists and rock your fursuit.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Stick a finger up at them and do it in your fursuit.
That's right.
Frick yeah!
Rock that fursuit.
Speaking of that stuff, though, I think that all the other things as well, like the every single other cosplay community is also going to be hurt. But that's neither here nor there. Yeah, and you know what though? There we go.
Yeah.
You rock that, Mister.
Yeah, go for it. Stick up to those activists.
Doing it upside down as well, man. For extra power points.
Wait, what? Was you it upside down?
Yeah, you zoomed in a lot for a second, and then
oh
it was...
Oh my god.
Dude, he is more upside down than the whole of Australia is. Actually, no, double that. He has to move to Australia first, and then he's gonna literally... like that's Inception.
There we go, that works.
That's face up, at least.
Yeah.
Well, at least you figured it out. Oh, well, at least you're right side up. Come on, I had to do this.
Yeah.
Ah, but hey, next up, but that I suppose, you know, what do you make of all of this mess? Like, just to kind of conclude with the whole, you know, let's make no more clothes. Like, let's take all our clothes to save all the, you know, to save our planet. Is it like a big brained idea?
Just no, definitely not.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of better ways which we can save the environment than do that. So let's just prioritize, like,
the other ways.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But in that sense, though, I think it's high time we basically started up and, you know, went on to the next item of the story.
Indeed.
Yeah, because this climate change stuff is black. They really got to care about our animals, too. Come on. Anyway, we got a lot of crazy animal stories coming up for you really soon. And here's one we're starting off with. And it's going to be a starting cracker. Here we go. Swastikas found painted on turtles in Washington.
What?
How?
You know what this reminds me of? That episode from Hey Arnold where Hey Arnold saw like this giant like tortoise and everybody like graffitied his shell and Arnold wanted to like help him get free and, you know, swim away from the zoo and all these abuse and stuff. Yeah. Apparently the New York Post thinks that this is relevant enough to talk about.
Never seen Hey Arnold.
You've never seen Hey Arnold.
I haven't either. Yeah,
I have to some degree.
A similar situation.
What have you guys been growing up on? SMDH Disgraceful.
SpongeBob.
I'm sorry. Us the UK furs have different fins to watch. Apparently.
The New York Post made this article about how swastikas were drawn on turtles' shells. Thing is, they're simply reporting on random graffiti. It could have been some, like, 13-year-old random kid from school who decided to, you know, be edgy and draw this on a random turtle. And yet, the New York Post thinks that this is relevant. And be like,
yeah,
oh,
it's ridiculous.
Look around, guys. The white supremes are everywhere. Whee!
If you also look at this very, very carefully, it's that they also claim that these swastikas are drawn invert, you know, the opposite side around.
Do you really think the person that made this swastika actually gives a fuck about that?
Yeah.
Nah, they don't. They don't care. It's just some random person trying to be edgy, and yet somehow the New York Post actually thought that this was relevant. Unreal.
Oh dear, it's ridiculous.
I think that they want to talk about drawing them upside down. They know all, they're experts at this already.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember Hail Hitler?
Oh God.
Oh God.
Oh no.
That big upside down, you know, chunky, multi-lined. Oh, this is how I drew a swastika, right? Did I get this right?
Yeah, on a turtle shell, though.
It's so random.
Well, it is, but I kind of wonder how in the hell the New York Post actually found out about this.
Oh, no, I fully agree.
They sent a reporter to actually write an article, though. Like, that's so fucked.
I mean, if you get paid to write something that basic, someone's making some money out of this.
Yeah, but, like, this isn't news, though.
Oh, I agree.
It shouldn't be. It's only news for us because it's so bonkers that the New York Post actually went about this.
I mean, can I make a little joke that was passed around when I first was made aware of this? Teenage Mutant Nazi Turtles.
Oh, no.
I knew that was coming. Oh. No.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
All of that.
Look, I'm not gonna lie as well. Same token, no blue paw. New York Times must be having a slow news era.
Oh,
yeah, they really are. Everyone is though.
Ah, but there's also some more animal-related stories too, because this is getting outrageous. Like. Here's another one that's different.
What's next?
This will be fun.
Animal rights activists berate blind man for having a guide dog.
Oh, no, come on.
What? Come on, now.
Sorry, every single time, this is the thing that really annoys me the most about animal rights activists just having problems with service dogs. That's a big issue for me.
Right, because because what if you need, you know, a guide dog to help you out? You can't see. Like, what if you're that old? Like, God forbid they actually yelled at an old woman who's blind and needs a guide dog to carry her across throughout the day.
It's morally wrong, to say the least. Oh my gosh. I mean, what's their solution to it instead of, like, having a guide dog? What do they think is better?
Like, no, surely, they say the dog must be liberated and made free to live away from humankind.
God's sake. Ugh.
Yeah, nah, mate. That's not how it works. Not to mention, like... Yeah, like, exactly as they said. The animal rights activist says he said dogs should be free in the field. Cafes. And then what?
Nose is gone.
Jesus Christ, what's happening with everybody crashing up and going up and crashing?
No, my internet is disconnected again. As I did say, it just disconnects randomly. So I missed like the past 30 seconds, a minute of whatever you...
I mean, Avira, tell me everything's okay.
Everything is super duper. I'm good.
Oh, that's just peachy. Okay, everything is okay. I declare it to be so.
That was pretty messed up. Wow.
Also, I posted inadvertently a hate symbol. You know, ADL, please no ban. But anyway, everything's fine. But here's some funny live comments as well. Junie says, lol, animal rights activism is ableism.
I see.
Yeah. I see. Makes a good point, right? Remember, if they hate blind people, you know, getting their dogs. You know,
that's true. Maybe
Rabbit Natsu says those damn blind people enslaving dogs didn't they get the memo? Blindness is a choice.
It could be a choice.
Yeah, who knows?
What if I chose to identify as blind when I'm actually not?
I mean, it's not really something you identify as, so it's really weird. It's still messed up. Not surprising.
Yeah. And here's also another messed up, you know, animal story that I've got to bring you.
Oh no.
Here we go.
Okay. UK Labour split over whether 90% of giraffes are gay.
Actually, no. Interesting animal story, which I know about. So, have you heard about the gay penguins?
Yes, we have.
Yes,
covered it on the show once.
Yep, we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Ah,
and it's basically a deja vu case, isn't it? Though?
Now we got some gay giraffes,
and 90% of the whole giraffe population are gay. Apparently.
Yeah, well, if that's the case, then they wouldn't be alive right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. It must be those damn Africans teaching them to be gay. No, not really. No, but for real. Look at this. This is what they said. They talk about teaching people or children to be gay. They don't want people to be taught to be gay. I don't know this, right? If you can't teach gayness, if that's even a word, if you could teach gayness, who speaks giraffe? Because 90% of giraffes are gay, so if you could teach it, I don't know who just felt hell speaks giraffe.
This just sounds like propaganda to me, honestly.
So weird. There's news of nothing better to do nowadays.
90% of giraffes? I mean, come on now. I don't think so.
I mean, look. Okay, here's a. I think the live comments are also quite lit on this. Shit meme bank post. LGBT, lesbian, giraffe, bi, and trans.
No.
What's up, shit meme? How you doing?
Well, if it makes you feel better, you know. Go at least the G. But hey.
Nah. This is bonkers.
Yeah, just the...
But of course, there's always the next...
I want to have that image in my mind of, like, gay giraffes, like, fucking each other. But now I do. So thank you, whoever said that.
Thankfully, I don't. No, trying to ignore that.
Honestly, you gotta tip the hat to, you know, not that I recommend this, the UK Labour Party. In fact, there was no... Like, even in... The Africans themselves say that there was no, you know, well, not African, that there's no scientific proof that 90% of giraffes are gay. So it's the Guardian, but.
Oh.
Right, now Guardian's more reliable.
Yeah, no, true. Really.
I beg to differ.
Why is this even a thing? Who the hell is saying this?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Hmm.
This is... Okay, I have only two words to describe what kind of society we live in.
Clown world?
Yep. Mad world?
Yep.
There you go.
Because that, honestly, like, discovering the sexuality of giraffes is the most pressing issue that the UK has to deal with, right?
Oh, yeah, it's more pressing than Brexit.
Don't even get started there, please.
More pressing.
Yeah, I mean, look. It's actually, you know, come on. Yeah, and of course, we gotta close this one, like, with an obvious joke. It's the chemicals in the water that turn them gay.
Turn the freaking frogs gay.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Yep.
Damn, Toonie.
It was the frogs to begin with, and then it was V. Now it's the giraffes. What's next?
What, was it the penguins, then the giraffes?
Yeah, actually, good point.
No, also there was lions as well.
Oh no.
Oh yeah, I think they're before the giraffes.
Oh no.
Oh yes, I kid you not.
Did the lions do it before the giraffes or did it after?
No, I think, when was this article? I missed it.
Look, I mean... Gotta save the animals, man. We must dechemicalize the water and tell the Africans not to teach them to be gay.
I mean, we have to let the animals identify as they want. Be nice in that way.
Hmm.
Gay! Frogs!
Yep. That about wraps that up. Gee whiz. Oh, now that we're right here, though, Avira, what do you think?
Yes.
I think you know more about this next item that's on the show.
Oh, well?
Yeah, because I think you've taken this fascination for the next generation of robots, right?
Oh, boy.
Yay.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yes.
All right. I'll get that started running up then. So, why not you take it away? While we have this starting up. Hey, Vera.
All right. Well, for those of you who are unaware, Boston Dynamics is a very prominent company when it comes to the building of advanced robotics. Now, a few years ago, they built something called Big Dog. Now, this was a quadrupedal robot that was used for the American military. It could hold, you know, several pounds of equipment and whatnot, and it was programmed to act as if it was almost like a real animal. Very creepy stuff, if you actually look at it. But now, we have Boston Dynamics has developed a humanoid that can act as an actual human. It can jump, it can run, it can do backflips and fucking parkour. It's called Atlas. And a few weeks ago, they just showcased their latest video of this robot that can do all of those things. And it's very similar to something that you might see in Terminator. So basically, Atlas is a robot that is the most dynamic robot on the entire planet. I'm not sure exactly what the U.S. military is going to do with this project, but it's very concerning if you actually watch it. Like, it looks like a real person. And interestingly enough, there's this studio on YouTube called Corridor. Now, they made a CGI video of them testing a robot, and then that robot went crazy and tried to, like, you know, hurt their testers. But I think that it's not necessarily science fiction, even though it does show, you know, like, what they did. It almost mm-hmm. looks like they were testing this robot, and then it gained, like, self intelligence or whatnot, and it actually turned on its creators. That's basically what their videos were all about, and it's supposed to be science fiction. But recently, it doesn't really seem like it.
It could become reality.
Well, I mean, what they did was, you know, faked, of course. But mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessarily beyond, you know, perception that this is what actual tests of robots would look like. And this is what Boston Dynamics is doing.
I'm actually impressed with this, to be honest.
I am
impressed,
too.
But concerned.
No, I'm very impressed by this. And it's scary, but this is our reality right now.
The robots are coming to take away your jobs, your armed forces, and your lives.
Dude, and they will do a backflip. But
yeah, and they will do it while backflipping over you.
I can't do that.
I can't do that.
No.
Look, me neither. But that's where it's heading.
Yeah. This is pretty wild. I don't know if you guys saw this, but like 3 weeks ago, Boston Dynamics released their latest video of their latest robot called Atlas doing parkour, jumping up and down from one platform to two to three, jumping on one, and then flipping over backwards and landing on both its feet. That is something that no robot has ever done before. And they're advancing this technology.
That is incredible. It's just, it is concerning. Like, if it can seem
it can actually do that,
human, then, gosh, the potential could be either amazingly good or
just devastating.
Yeah.
It maneuvers just like a human being can, which I think is extremely scary, considering the fact that a robot does not have a need for food or water or sleep. And this thing can just go about this.
Nah, it just needs juice.
Just pursue its programmed objective.
It just needs battery juice, and you can pretty much deny the robot whenever you want to.
Pretty much, yeah. And that's what they're developing right now.
Keep it away from the self-charging station.
Oh, no. That would be... Ooh.
But come on now.
This is really fascinating. Now, here's the thing too. The Corridor Studio is some group on YouTube who's like pseudo making these videos about Boston Dynamics and their advancements and showing that the robots go crazy. But at the same time, Boston Dynamics is extremely advanced. I think we might have talked about this before when it comes to the big dog or like their other quadrupedal robots. So when it comes to their recent developments, you know, in this regard of Atlas, it's much more dynamic than any other robot I've literally ever seen that exists. Mm-hmm. This thing can jump. I mean, like,
mm-hmm.
can run. It's scary. Mm-hmm. And so it's only a matter of time before something like this is more powerful or faster or better than humans.
You're not wrong entirely. That's just why.
What do you guys think about, like, robots? Like, do you think this is a good idea? Like, to be, developing this technology? Or do you think that humans still kind of have an edge over machines?
I would say it's about 50-50. So it's good that we are actually developing this technology. Because I would say it would save a lot more servicemen and servicewomen in the armed forces more than anything.
True.
And, like, that's part of it. And that's... It's really impressive that they're making it specifically for that. But it's more for worry that, as you said, it's a sort of science fiction actually coming to reality. So it's just more the worry that now...
It goes wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it does go wrong, anything can go wrong, especially if, you know, robots can learn on their own. And that's when we have moments when we all know Skynet is inevitable.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yep, Skynet.
And I think on that same note, though, we can talk about something that is Skynet.
Oh, unfortunately, God.
It is not good. Because as of the past couple of weeks, there has been a trend of woke movies as of late. There are two Avira clones. There is an Avira clone. Will the real Avira
be?
So, Skynet has taken over my identity? Oh, no.
No, we must kill the clone. Okay, problem solved.
Okay, everything's fine now. Crisis averted.
Alright, so, we'll start this segment, of course. No surprise. With the latest Terminator.
Yeah, I mean, like, which,
has anybody of you guys seen it? I've not.
I haven't seen it. I've heard about it.
Yeah
that's
oh my
high.
Goodness.
Oof. Yeah, because my dad actually said there is literally no point seeing it. Wait for it to go onto DVD and then wait for it to go as low as like £5 before you buy and watch it. That's how bad he said it was.
Actually, no. There's a better solution, but it does involve something that's a bit iffy. Which I may or may not advocate.
Download it illegally or...
Yeah. These days I've given up on a lot of... on the pirating shtick, but...
Huh.
Yeah, instead, I'm just gonna... Nope. Because it's woke. I mean, yeah, look at it, though. It's basically... The figures aren't telling a good story so far at the box office.
The thing is, from the trailers, I thought it was good, but then afterwards, on different platforms, which I'm on, like Twitter, Furry Amino, people are actually saying it's not as good. They've changed the story plot a lot, and it's just, especially since they retconned after the second film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the last Terminator I watched was Salvation, and that was... You know.
That one was decent.
Now this,
I think that these directors and or producers, they care very little about the actual technological advancements, you know, that relate to our day-to-day lives, and they're more concerned with being woke and getting all those, you know, check boxes. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, Terminator was so good. I loved the first two, and then afterwards it started getting bad and bad, and it just broke my heart, especially after when they had the Sarah Connor Chronicles as a, like, a science story in the UK once, and I watched a few of those, and I loved those.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
But it's,
I saw
so...
that too.
But now, look at it, though. This movie is just a disappointment on all fronts as well. Like, when you consider things like, you know, the casting of the characters and so forth. Like, where is the signature Terminator in all of this?
Yeah.
Come on. And not to mention as well, you know, like, who was behind the movie again? James Cameron?
Oh, no.
I mean, James Cameron is somewhat good.
He's alright.
I mean, he made Avatar and Titanic are officially timeless. Look, there would be... Now, on the other hand, this is not something that aged well.
Yeah.
There are some good comments on this that I'm looking at.
Oh, wait, in the Breitbart article?
No, in the YouTube. There's some good comments on.
Of course. It has to be said that just because, after what Avira pulled off, it has to be said. The candy corn are multiplying. Exterminate!
Oh, God. It was just making me think of a Doctor Who reference right then as well.
Yeah.
Oh, and before that, though, because I'm... No, do not exterminate.
Orange Doggo is not happy.
No, Orange Doggo's bad, that's all.
Yeah. And not to mention the next one as well, Native Rabbit Nazi says, oh, my God. Avira is multiplying. He's ascending.
God, why?
Why? Gee, I wonder. I wish I knew. But, you know, here's another one, too, to move on to the next item, which is also got considered woke by all measure. Dracula will be bisexual and Van Helsing gender swapped in new BBC One drama series.
No.
I have not seen this. That's actually something interesting.
Oh, dear.
The thing is, I'll watch more BBC One than Crust here, and somehow I have not heard about this one.
So weird.
It sort of reminds me sort of like in Lucifer, and I haven't watched Lucifer, but I've heard about it. Wasn't Lucifer bisexual in that as well? I can't remember.
I mean, Lucifer was an interesting kind of story, but come on. You do not make a character that has at least a semblance of, is, you know, established in his a semblance of being iconic and turn him into this.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
And yeah, and look at this, though. He's just made him so much more freaking degenerate. Like, seriously.
Everything just has to be acceptable nowadays, needs to show a variety of types of people. Just, you can't discriminate, obviously. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and now what happened to the whole classic of the thingo, you know? Like, if Dracula was literally so hot thingo that he literally magnetizes girls to him. God.
Now, can he magnetize boys as well?
Right. Now they have to make him romanticize boys. Like, here's the... Like, exactly. Sky is right on this one, too. Isn't Dracula like a notorious womanizer? I don't understand why new characters can't be made wrong with.
Agreed.
true. Like, and not to mention to Van Helsing, a woman.
No, just no. That's so wrong.
I'm pretty sure they did a Netflix series of Van Helsing where Van Helsing was a female as well. No, it wasn't Netflix, but I'm pretty sure that there was a series where Van Helsing was a female in that as well.
Yeah, I think it was like his daughter or something.
Oh, I've never seen it, so I was so confused. I was like, so they turned Van Helsing into a female, and oh, so
that no, it might not have been now. Him directly. It was probably like his descendant or something.
Okay, now that makes more sense.
Fantastic. But there's also another more, you know, someone will have comments here to read. Lupo says, we do not need another Twilight.
Of course.
Agreed. We don't.
True. We don't.
Yeah.
Twilight basically soured me on the whole vampire thing. How can the freaking vampire, you know, recover after that? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. And Toonie also says, okay, that's it. We need Blade. Talking about cool vampires.
Okay, Blade was somewhat okay. It was decent.
Yeah. Okay.
Not bring quite. Back the cool vampires. Like
Nightwalker. No, not Nightwalker. Daywalker specifically. Why was I thinking Nightwalker?
Sure weird.
At least bring back vampires, which are, you know, follow the vampire mythos, you know, it's true to its core.
Yeah.
And are not, you know, and are not bisexual. Because they have to be, you know, manizers. Okay, look, I made up a word. Give me royalties now.
Well, it's canon now.
Because oh, I declare yeah. it to the be man-izers. So. But look, unfortunately, this is where, you know, this is where all the entertainment's going.
I don't know what to think about it. I think it's a good thing, ever so slightly, that they're starting to show more
representation.
Yeah, because you know how Doctor Who was like traditionally, oh, the doctor male or whatever, and then all of a sudden the master became female. I'm pretty sure that was a massive hint that, okay, we need more representation. We're going to have the doctor a female next. Just
yeah, I heard about it the moment it came out, and then, you know, a lot of flack. It was
backlash.
A lot of flack. Absolutely.
And even then, yeah,
I don't care about representation. I only care about if the actor is actually good enough for the job.
Yeah.
True.
And then eventually, regarding the whole Doctor Who thing, even the authors admitted that they were lacking running out of ideas.
Mm.
And I think, you know, it would also hold true in the same if they had to make Dracula kind of like this, too.
Yeah.
Just why?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Next thing you know, Blue Paul says, politically correct Castlevania. Now, that's a thing I haven't heard from quite some time come back.
Hmm.
Look, but you got to remember, too, you know, wasn't it the Japan, you know, it was all in the early days of Nintendo that Castlevania was there. And it's...
Never played Castlevania.
Yeah,
I feel so young after seeing some of these comments and things like this, and it's just like, I really want to play Castlevania and stuff like that now. And,
mm-hmm. But now also as well, little side note, this is what Sky Shepherd, also, thanks for popping by, but for some reason, everybody loves lesbian vampires.
Ian. That's not wrong.
Yeah, but too bad now the whole vampire demographic thing has been shifted, you know, because Twilight basically brought all the girls to, you know. Oh, God. No, that's ruined it. Nope. I don't know if I can put a lid on this stuff. Nope.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, just before we do kind of wrap up, I would like to... So we're going to begin a new segment at, you know, at the end of each show. Now, because this, I think it is high time we get, you know, the Furry Raiders started giving our artists some love. So with that further, without any further ado, I would like to share with you that we are here to promote our in-house artist, Sky Shepherd, who is one of the group, our group's admins. And will be in charge of making a lot of great, you know, artwork and merchandising in the near future. All things go plan. Without any further ado.
Yeah, Sky is super awesome.
Sky is great.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
I'm starting to get a piece myself from Sky.
Oh, please do. I would definitely recommend that you.
I'm already in the process of getting it started. I've got a few works in progress.
Yeah, Chris has it, and I've seen the works in progresses as well, and I'm like, oh my god, that is so good. I really want to commission them myself as well.
Sky is amazing.
All of her contact info can be seen in the description of this video. And if you'd like to commission some art, you can always do so.
Indeed, yes. We will definitely give you the links proper so you can access that too. And just as a few more examples as well, some of our clients that she's, you know, a few more recent examples of her work and the latest one she's finished. So definitely you can quite, you know, there's definitely something out there for you if you actually try your luck, which I do. I highly recommend doing so too. Not to mention, she was the one who drew the Jolt Darkie, and I know some of you want it. So, you know, you can actually thank her for having somebody to hug if you're willing to throw your hard-earned money at me. Actually, no, she gets a part of the money.
Oh, well.
You know what, Avira? Seriously, what? You're the one who's going to get a Darkie eventually. All the
I probably will. Done. True.
I wonder what you'd look like though. Like, seriously, just for the sake. Just for the idea of it though. How would we make candy corn literally, you know, so desirable?
Ooh. Good question. I don't know.
That's something to think about, I guess.
Oh, sure. My Darkie can be seen. Just drop me a line. Actually, no, not really. Don't drop me a line. It'll put up on the shop front when it's ready to be sold. Okay?
Oh, well, seems like I'm buying it then.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we'll look at the selection first.
Yeah, but then we probably buy Jolts anyway, because why not?
Gotta have all the admin Darkies.
True.
Not his. No, but it's on the cards, right? Like, it'll come when it'll be there. We just gotta get more artwork done first, and then after that comes the hard printing process, which we'll get there too. But anyway, though, I believe that's, you know, we may have come whatsoever, but this is all the time we've got for the week. Would you guys like to come up with any closing statements regarding this week's, you know, kind of news cycle whatsoever, have you, or any general statements?
I mean, in general, the news is absolutely messed up. now it's just days? About representation instead of... Well, not necessarily skill, but more representation to be like, oh, we're politically correct and socially acceptable. And it's just like, just don't do that. Do whatever's best for your franchise. Like, do what's best for the canons you have going already. Don't, like, put in place new ones for no reason.
Definitely.
Oh, no!
Here we go again.
Oh.
How many freaking clones does Aviera need to pop in?
What's this?
Dude, Halloween is a... You've missed a Halloween opportunity. Just don't.
And now all candy corn's going to go slowly but surely.
Oh, hey, Vera, do you hear that? Your darky's going to have the biggest shrine.
True.
Because Lady Rabbit Natsu is going to worship it.
What?
No, not really. I put that extra line just because I can. You know, because shrines. But hey. And all right, can I get a show of hands? How many people want an Aviera Darky?
I'm raising my hand, although you can't see. Definitely.
Yeah, I got my paw raised as well.
Okay, that's gonna be willed into reality at some stage.
Oh my goodness.
Come on, Aviera. Think of the money you could get from this.
Okay.
Sparkly wants one. Natsu wants one.
I know. There will be more. We're asking the main... you know what? We're going to create a poll asking who wants to be Aviera Darky.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready.
I think that there's going to be a majority saying yeah.
Oh.
Definitely.
Anyway, so, Wraithtail, have you got anything to wrap up this week with? Any closing statements?
Not really. I think the same closing statement that Kresk gave also applies to me.
All right. No biggie. Aviera, is everything okay on your end?
Yeah, this was super awesome. I love talking to you guys, and I hope to see you in the near future.
Absolutely.
We always will. So, in that sense, just to kind of wrap up, as always, our episodes are available on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and more platforms later down the line. And, you know, and maybe later down the line, we'll be streaming, you know, to more platforms at once. So you'll always know where to find us. Or in case YouTube decides to bugger us off. Anyway, this is us signing off for the week. Farewell, and until next time.
All right, bye, guys.
See ya.